My sermon today I titled The Enemy Within. I want to tell you a news flash that you might not have noticed, but our culture is full of lies. Our culture is trying to continuously give us the wrong information. And what happens is we begin to believe some of this stuff, and it affects how we live our lives. I'm going to have a name for it in a minute, but right, even in our Christian culture, there's some common lies that are there. Can you find that? Oh, I was supposed to start with that video, wasn't I? Ah, let me do that first then. We got it now. Let's do this. Because this will still fit. And I still will jump her all around, but that's okay. I mean, you heard all of these, I think. God helps those who help themselves. I mean, really. God wants me to be happy. Well, he wants us to be holy. We are all God's children. We are all offered salvation by the Lord. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Now, we know that's not true. God won't give you more than you can handle. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, that he didn't really say that. Bad things happen to good people. Bad things happen to everyone because we're in a war. And then this one, when you die, God gains another angel. That's one of the frustrating things for pastors, because angels are angels and people are people. And those two don't intermix and become each other. But you can't at the time of a funeral correct somebody theologically for calling, oh, my little one is now an angel in heaven. Well, okay, if you want to say that metaphorically and it helps you, that's good, but it's not true. So there's all of these kind of things that twist and turn us. I want to play a video, and can you get to it? Okay. And this is Michael Jr. We were playing comedic videos just to lighten up things in the middle of Lent. This one is Michael Jr., who's a wonderful comedian, but this isn't a comic strip. Go ahead.
As I wrap this up, if I had to explain God, this is what I would say. God is like a navigational device in a car. Have you ever been in a car with a navigational device and you punch in the coordinates as to where you wanted to go? You want to go to a certain place, and then it calculates where you're supposed to go. And it might say go 10 blocks and turn left. And you go 10 blocks and turn right. Well, it doesn't abandon what you're supposed to do. It recalculates what you need to do to get to where you're supposed to be based upon where you are. But the problem is if we keep making the wrong turns, the road conditions are going to be different. And we're running out of time. The road conditions are going to be a lot rougher. So we have to listen to the GPS. To God's positioning system. God will put you in the right position at the right time. You listened to your GPS today when you got here. You were actually listening to your GPS. God specifically got you here for a reason right now. And what's really cool is now you get another opportunity to listen to the GPS. But listen to it even more clearer, to listen to what God has to tell you and what he wants from you. It is so important. You have an opportunity to let down your nets, because you may have been like, okay, God, I'm going to give you what I got, and only let down that one net. Only serving one day in that ministry. Only reading your Bible maybe once a week. Only really praying with your spouse maybe once a month. Or whatever your scenario is, we're going to change that whole opportunity. That can change right now, today. I want every head bowed, eyes closed. If you're listening to me, if any of this right here penetrated you and you understand what it is I'm talking about, and you know who you are, and you truly want a real relationship with God, you've been holding back. You haven't been giving God everything. You've only been giving him that one net, that small portion of you. But now you say, no, God, I want to give you all of me. I do not want to hold back anymore. I truly want to give you all of me because I need all of you. Because I need all of you. I cannot do it by myself. I cannot do it by myself. I still feel drugs calling me. I still feel like I need something to drink. It's still hard for me not to want to hit my wife, to hit my kids. I need all of you, Lord, so you can show me who I'm supposed to be to the fullest extent of my life, to the fullest ability. I'm having a hard time paying the bills. Well, God has the answer. You just have to give your whole self to him. If you are that person, all I want you to do right now is take one small little step. All I'm asking you to do is just look at me. All you need to do is just look up at me right now. If that person is you and you want God truly in your life, all you need to do right now is make eye contact so we can agree together that you want God in your life like that. It's all you have to do.
Yes.
Now, if you happen to be looking at me right now, I want you to listen to what I'm going to say to you now. I want you to understand that God loves you, he believes in you, and you can trust in him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and he will work out the good for you. Now, I'm going to ask you to do one more thing.
Whoops. I guess we're not going to do one more thing, but I didn't realize it ended there, but that's okay. As he's talking, I'm thinking of the song we sang, which was Everything. Everything that we give to him. But there's stuff that's going on inside of us. And actually, for most of us, inside of us means here, in between our ears. There's something that the Bible calls strongholds. And it is something in which things of truth get twisted a half a turn. There are whole belief systems that we follow or that we hear every day on TV or the internet or whatever that seem to be trying to drum into us a truth other than what God's word says. And that's these strongholds. The Apostle Paul talked about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And he said, I beg you that when I come, I may not be as bold as I expect to be toward people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. There's the word. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And we will be ready to punish every act of disobedience once your obedience is complete. I'm going to break this down a little bit. This is a very key scripture in what I'm talking about. The first piece, people that think that we live by the standards of the world. If you think we live by the standards of the world, I'm sorry, but you're mistaken. Second part, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight are not the weapons of the world. So we don't go and capture people and behead them and therefore that's how we make Christians or there's a whole slew of ways the world does things. It says divine power to demolish strongholds, which is a key. Divine power demolishes strongholds. Strongholds are, well, the definition of strongholds are arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. I can tell you the remedy to that, which is the Word of God, the Bible. And the more that we can get into the Bible, we can correct our thinking, the patterns of thoughts that we have. And we really have to do it intentionally, because we're getting bombarded intentionally by the lies of the world. And then the battle is that we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. And that's something that's key for us, because we get into thought patterns in ways that we always do things. And we find that we sort of are on autopilot at times in our life. And we have to start stopping that and start thinking about what we're doing. So we live our lives through our thoughts, not doing anything that we don't first think about. Our thought process is so important on all that we do. Now, I think we have, for lack of a better term, the term is buckets of thinking. I heard a teacher say this once. We have buckets of thinking. And there are three buckets: reasoning, opinions, and our biases and offenses. And embedded in these are attacks from the devil every time. His mode of attack is to deal with us with fear, temptation, and lies. Fears hurt from the past that keep us away from God. Temptations, shortcuts that we want to take to get to happiness or what we want. And lies are the twisted truth from the evil one, who's the father of lies. And sometimes these strongholds in our lives actually hide from us in plain sight, like this wolf. And it's there, but we don't recognize it. We don't take time to stop and think about what we're thinking about. And these always become openings for Satan to attack our lives and to attack our relationships. Let me take a look at the three buckets again. Reasoning. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't use reasoning. I mean, we have to use a certain level of reasoning in all that we do as we make judgments in our life of what to do and what not to. But we need to beware of the lies. It's like Michael Jr.'s video with the GPS system and turning, you know, it says turn left and we turn right. And if you realize that once you've turned right, if you followed the old map and then you turned left and right and left, you won't get to where you wanted to be, because you've already based it all on your first wrong turn. Well, reasoning and logic that has a lie at the beginning, or actually in any part of it, it's like turning the wrong way in a reasoning, so that we don't get to the truth, even though everything after that makes sense. That first step, or one of the first steps, was a lie. And we base our reasoning on that. So that's what we call faulty reasoning. And it's like, this action violates logic. Do you want to override? I'd probably hit cancel on that, but... So the real roadmap for our reasoning is the Word of God. And that's where we know that we get to where we really want to get to. The second bucket is opinions. And that one is a tough one. I have to tell you that I have a boatload of opinions. Many of you have heard my opinions. Hopefully you haven't heard as many lately, because I'm working on not having so many opinions. There are people who have opinions on whether you should have opinions or not. And opinions are rooted in our belief system, and sometimes we have a hard time separating fact from fiction. They're judgments, which seem to be the key word, but we don't know how we're seeing this, and we kind of get confused. The internet can give us a real tint to things. And so we think we're looking at reality and we're looking at what the internet wants us to see through the lenses. Oftentimes strongholds are lenses. We put on sunglasses and everything turns blue. And we go, oh, everything's blue now. It's not. This is the strongholds, the opinions, the judgments. Oftentimes, faulty religions, churches, politics are based on very strong opinions, which are mostly right, but not all right. And what I see Satan doing over and over again is driving people to the extremes of the piece of truth that they have. Here or here. Those are all strongholds. Yes, I have part of the truth, but I don't have the other part of it when I'm dealing with my life. So when I make decisions, I make it black and white in the way that I believe is true. And you have to be careful that those are opinions. One that we often don't realize, but really drives us, is the bias and offenses that have happened into our lives. People hurt us. Paula has her favorite book. All I've ever heard is the title. That's all I needed, which is Hurt People Hurt People. And we hurt each other all the time. Did a sermon on us being a bunch of porcupines, hugging each other and getting poked and then backing away. And so what God wants to do is to really deal with these offenses. And of course, we learned a while back that the key to that is repentance and forgiveness, going back to people and rebuilding bridges. But we sometimes, you know, we sometimes look at things and, these are back to judgments again. Luke 17 is an interesting scripture, if we could hit that one. It says, then he said to the disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Well, why the odd picture? Well, let me tell you why. That root word offenses in Greek, the word is skandalon. And skandalon had two meanings back then. One meaning, whoops, let's go back one. I know I said the word, but one meaning was the skandalon was the stick that propped up the trap. So that when people went into the trap, they knocked over the stick and they got trapped. That's one word for, one meaning for skandalon. Okay, Heather, hit it again. She's trying to get me to get done sooner, so she's doing this. Yeah, eat donuts, is it? Skandalon, a stick for bait of a trap, generally a snare, a stumbling block. Or an offense, which is in this word, cause for stumbling, hindrance, offense, stumbling block. You see that the Greek word tells us something about how we sometimes relate to people and how we think about patterns, maybe of whole groups of people. I think we all unfortunately do that. So these are strongholds. These are wrong ways of thinking that allow the evil one into our life. I mean, they're like places, major places of hopelessness, darkness. If you have a history of failure in certain areas, sources of anger and sources of offense. Actually, often it comes in cycles, and you just keep doing the same thing over and over again, cycles of pain. I mean, we all have the joke of, you know, what do you call it when you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results? And of course, the answer is insanity. And so then we all laugh. But the answer is also the way that we think. It's the pattern of thinking in our head that's taken us down the wrong path so that we do things the wrong way or relate to people in the wrong way. And it causes problems for us, reoccurring problems. Such things as, why does X, whatever that is, always happen to me? Why am I always get stuck with this one thing in my life? Or every man or woman I meet hurts me. Or and our my favorite one when I was a consulting engineer was, we've always done it that way. The same old thinking, the same old results. And we have to realize that we get stuck in these cycles that just keep causing the same problems over and over again. And when we have that, we have to realize we have a stronghold we're dealing with in our lives. It's something that we do have to deal with. We have to face it. We have to take the power away from it by repenting for believing the lie or forgiving an offense. And sometimes we forgive offenses that aren't even real. They're just in our imagination from our thinking because of something that happened to us. So I was listening to a tape by one pastor who's, you know, worldwide known, and he said somebody wrote him a letter saying, I just want to let you know I forgave you. And he goes, I've never met the guy. How could I have done that much to him from out here? But it was the perception. It was something that caused a trigger. Remember what I said earlier. Our thought patterns shape our lives. There's a scripture to that. It's Proverbs 4:23. Be careful how you think. Your life is shared by your thoughts. We think about something before we do it. I mean, the only exceptions would be if somebody not thinking jumped out of the way of a car coming or something, but that's our reflexes. But otherwise, we think before we do anything. And we have to watch our thinking patterns because often those thinking patterns become so automatic in us that we go, well, I think about this, but I know I'll never do it. But then we find ourselves tripping up. Now, common areas where strongholds are idolatry, which if you don't know what that is, that doesn't mean that we stand in front of statues and pray with incense. Idolatry is putting anything before God, anyone before God, any relationship before God, all the rest of these. Unbelief, pride, deception, insecurity of feeling unloved, feelings of rejection, addiction, food-related strongholds, except donuts. Ongoing feelings of guilt, despair resulting from loss, unforgiveness, depression, sexual strongholds, and the enemy in general in our lives. When we're experiencing these problems over and over and over again, we can't figure out why. It's because our thinking patterns have gotten somewhere in there twisted a half a twist, and then it's just sent us off into a place God does not want for us. As I said before, we want to find the truth, and we find it in the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 4 says this. It says, this is again Paul, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the Word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as servant of Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of the darkness, made the light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God wants to replace a lot of our thinking with His Word, with His way. You all have strongholds in your life. I watch some of them in action. And pray for the Holy Spirit to come and intervene. The person here who knows they don't have a stronghold, that's one of your strongholds, is you don't, that you think you don't have a stronghold. And again, the way out, let me go back to the very first scripture, this part that says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. It takes work, folks. You have to sort of, you can't, like I said, go on autopilot. You've got to be saying almost continuously, Lord, is this what you want me to do? Lord, is this what you're saying to me? Lord, am I reacting this way because of righteous indignation or just indignation? It's a hard word to say. And so we have to be questioning our own thinking. And especially, and I'm working on my strong opinions. Not the opinions are bad in themselves, but I want to make sure that my opinions follow God's word and do what He has called us to do.